your opinion, Mr. Lynch as well. Is there any reason we can't, Ms. Lynch, excuse me, is there any reason we can't deal with both of these patents in a single oral presentation here? Can we extend it a couple minutes?
There's no specific reason, Your Honor. They were handed as two different decisions by the board, so we treat them two separate cases.
Yes, but is there any reason we can't discuss them as one here?
Not
giving more. You a little extra time if you needed to discuss both.
Not for more, right?
No problem.
Okay, then if we can proceed in that
way,
we'll be a little liberal with the time perhaps address both in your original argument. Please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Franco Serafini for Pepperdall. The two main issues before this court are whether claims 1 to 25 of the first patent, the 960 patent, and claim 1 to 25 of the second patent, the 992 patent, are obvious in view of the references Katsiopoulos, Pedida, Carbone, and Plateau, and whether certain claims of each patent, 426 and 28 in one case, and 521 and 25 in the other case, are supported by the written description and the specification in the drawing.
How do you get by the obviousness finding for either?
Okay. As to both patents, really, Katsiopoulos teaches pain loss, interfere with labor. Pedida teaches incapacitating powders, which are even brought into the liquid of powder.
So why couldn't you take the Katsio-2, which is the sphere filled with tear gas, and instead put the Pedida powder in it? Why wouldn't one of skill in the art make that combination to achieve the claimed invention?
For three reasons, Your Honor. The first reason is that Pepper will try just that. As the record shows, it did not work. Once the powder, the projectile was shot, it would reach a target and would clump, would form a blob, but would not create a cloud. The second reason that...
But would a person of ordinary skill in this art be able to make adjustments rather quickly to make sure that the powder didn't clump, the ball, the frangible ball, exploded on impact and created the cloud and everything else? Couldn't that be done rather quickly and easily?
Well, we wouldn't believe so. It shouldn't take years to better work to see that result. The board has felt that it would take continuous implementation, it would be obvious to try, there would be non-design issues. But in no case has the board shown what these non-design issues are, and has shown none of those. And on top of that, on the obvious to try argument, this court has held in several cases, like the Rolls-Royce case first and the Ortho McNeil case, that to achieve an obvious to try result required that there be a known number of finite choices to give predictable results. We don't know, certainly not from the board, what these known choices are. We don't know whether they're finite or not, we submit or not. We want to try all kinds of things. And we don't know whether we need predictable results because the test performed by Pepperdall produce the opposite result, the clumping of the powder.
But the Katsio, I'm calling it that for short term, it's Katsiopoulos or something, yeah. But that Katsio, it mentioned that it uses tear gas. Can't tear gas be a powder?
It may be in one specific version. Typically it's a liquid. Which
in that case, the Katsio almost anticipates, doesn't it?
Well, it takes some speculation to make that, Your Honor, because Katsiopoulos not one time talks about powder in his patent. On top of that, the record shows that Mr. Basil, one of the inventors of the Pepperdall patents, talked to Mr. Gibson, who is one of the inventors of the Katsiopoulos patents, and Mr. Gibson simply said, "You've never done it, you don't know how to do it." So I don't think that Katsiopoulos teaches in that direction.
Well, there's a difference, isn't there, between technical problem of solving how to make the powder not clump and coming up with the idea of putting powder in the ball and shooting?
There is. In fact, both
so your problem really was a technical problem, wasn't it?
Well, it was a problem to create the cloud, which then would envelop the target.
It's obvious that if you're going to put powder in the ball, you want it to do that. And so it's a technical problem of how to get it to do that, right?
It's correct. But the issue is how to, does it protect the public assault in a non-obvious or obvious manner? And that's one of the top issues of this case. We submit that the prior art doesn't teach how to do it. Pepperbo teaches in his patent that it took them to lower the amount of the fill the balls within a certain range, between 60 and 95% of the fill level. But Cho doesn't talk about that. Instead, for example, Flatow, which was also in front of the board, says that the ball should make to spin in the air, actually a different projectile, but the projectile in the range may spin in the air as it travels through the air. Each part would acquire tangential velocity by spinning the air. When the projectile impact the target, the spinning velocity caused the particles to diffuse and create a cloud. This is not what this patent is about.
So what this patent is about is what you're saying is a partial fill which prevents clumping.
That's correct. Because the,
that's the heart of the matter.
Yeah, because the microparticles of air can compress and explode upon impact.
Why wouldn't one skill in the art try a 60% full ball at some point?
Well,
65%, whatever the range is. I think it's 60 to 95, isn't it?
65, yes.
Why wouldn't they try that at some point in the if they're filling their Katsiopoulos ball with tear gas powder?
Well, there's a fine line for the examiner, for the board, between hindsight and obviousness, clearly. And the prior art, nowhere does it teach to reduce the fill level. The board just says, no, these are issues. We don't know what these are issues are. We don't know why we've not done that instead of changing, I don't know, spinning the ball like a chip, Flatow teaches, or using explosive charge that Felita teaches, or whatever else. So we don't find the prior art any teaching that says, do this as opposed to that. We do find Flatow saying, spin the ball, don't use a convention around the ball like the board is suggesting. The examiner first and then the director's brief has cited one specific example from Pedida where they discuss a grenade with small balls which then after the grenade explodes and cause the release of these balls. And the director alleged that when this ball would impact the target, then they would diffuse and create the cloud that Pepperbot's claim. This is actually not correct because Pedida teaches two different embodiments. It teaches a type of grenade, which again is actuated by an explosive charge, which is either filled with liquid fill balls or powder fill balls. Pedida says, if you fill it with liquid, the liquid will impact the target and touch it, and the ball will explode and cause the liquid to expel it on the target. But if you use powder, have the grenade explode in the air, diffuse the powder, and then because the target is in the area, then the target will be affected by the cloud. This is not what these patents are about. These patents are about a spherical projectile launched with an air gun or a non-fired gun, which creates a cloud and it impacts the subject by enveloping the subject. The commercial success of Pepper also supports its non-obviousness. For example, the record shows that in the first 3 years of commercial success of this product, they had a 97% sale rate against any other major police organizations. In the 3 years we commercialized this product, they achieved a larger market share in non-lethal weapons than, for example, taser and other available devices. So we believe that the evidence in front of the board, in front of this court today, indicates that these patents are unobvious for the reasons which are discussed.
I remember anything. Commercial success category, some of that success had to be attributed to non-claimed features. You marketed this extensively with magazines and carrying cases and conveniences, not claimed conveniences, which enhanced its marketability.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that diminish the effect of commercial success here?
If Your Honor refers to the objection raised by the board about Pepperbot selling what's called hot balls, that is, the balls charged with the irritating powder, and Tommy Boss chairs without him taking power. Tommy Boss, being for training purposes, clearly when one puts a weapon in the hands of an officer, he has to train to use the new weapon rather than put the field directly the weapon in his hand.
And even at that, you only had about 1% of the market, right?
I don't have the number in front of me, but it was like 2 or 3%. But that's
it's small, it's not like you're controlling the market.
Well, we're talking about different markets when we're on this side.
Okay, thank
we're
you.
Talking about non-lethal weapon market as opposed to total police market. Still, the majority of projectiles purchased by police organizations are lethal projectiles, the conventional projectiles we don't have. Again, I don't have the numbers available now, but in the non-lethal market, Pepperball had a top market share compared to more established devices like Taser. And even today, it's sold by 250, 300 police organizations all over the world, for the matter. But back to the argument, if I may, about the charge versus or hot versus non-hot balls, they're called red and blue because they're sold in different colors. The claim feature here would be the application of the cloud. So there is a claim feature which is part of the has a nexus to sales of these projectiles. It's true that some of the balls again don't have the irritant project the irritant within them, but I guess the score we have to assess and we submit that it should be that when at least one claim feature is present in the product, then the nexus does exist. I think the opposing side is the director is arguing each claim feature to be protected. So we don't need a loss in this. If the court has no further questions, I refer to the written description.
Okay.
Do we have to read the written description if we go against the business?
Well, written description affects only three claims. If this court finds that the claims are non-obvious, then we'll be happy to, you know, we don't just need to argue those because those are no key claims in the.
No, but my question is upside around. If we find that, if we sustain the board's obviousness determination, we don't need to read the description.
We don't believe it would, yes, because the patent will not be that. I mean, everyone just patent rights.
Okay.
You wish me to address this question? No.
It's up to you, yeah. You have a little time.
Okay. Briefly, the key issue with the description is whether the creation of this cloud is such that the target would be enveloped by this cloud up to say part of his torso. The director, excuse me, the board has held that we do not provide in the federal does not provide in the patent specific times for cloud diffusion. Show that it would expand fast enough to envelop the person's head and torso. We don't believe that is necessary because, of course, the person skilled in the art reading the patent would understand that the diffusion of the cloud depends on the charge, on the amount of fill, that is 60-95%, on the speed of shooting or ejection of the pepper ball, on the force of ejection. So these are all adjustable parameters of the person's skill of the art within the patent. We also have figures that support your cloud creation. For that reason, we believe that the written description and the drawings provide an adequate support for the three claims in each patent are in question. I am ready to raise the question.
All right. Why don't we hear from the government at this point, and then we'll give you ample time to respond.
Thank you very much.
Please the court. The claimed invention is to a spherical projectile that's filled with a pepper powder. Katsiopoulos taught spherical projectile and three different references taught either a powder or a pepper.
Mr. Serafini, Ms. Lynch, makes much of the fact that they finally figured out that if you reduce the percentage of fill, you get that cloud dispersion that nobody else has come up with. What's wrong with that? Excuse me, isn't that an unexpected result, sort of?
They only argue that in terms of Claim 22 with the board's analysis that it would have been obvious to try. That's the claim that has the 60 to 95%. And what the board found was that Katsiopoulos itself talked about weighting agents. And it said that weighting agents can increase the launch. And so it said similarly, one of skill in the art, if they were trying to improve a projectile, would think about weight, and similarly would change the weight, and one way to do it would be by changing the amount of fill. So the board found that one of skill in the art with Katsiopoulos in hand would have every reason to try different weights or different fills.
But there isn't any prior art that suggests partial filling, which is a part of other claims as well, right?
It is part of certain claims. Katsiopoulos says filled and sealed. It doesn't say how much it's filled, and its diagram it only shows it partially filled. But there's no prior art that specifically talks about only partial filling in the specification.
So how do you make your obviousness determination with respect to that limitation?
Kind of what I just said is that one of skill in the art reading the art would see that different weights of projectiles have been known to impart different qualities to it. And so then they would have every reason to try different weights. And one way to try different weights is by adding different amounts of fills.
So the experimentation would be part of what one ordinary skill in the art would want to do?
That's correct, and it would not be undue.
Okay.
Was there anything in the record about experiencing problems with Howard's pumping and didn't reduce the fill?
There's nothing in the prior art that says that, but that's what Pepperball says. They said at 100% they would get a clump.
Well, did they provide affidavits or evidence that there would be a pumping problem with 100% fill?
I assume it's in one of their declarations. I actually am not absolutely positive whether it is or not. But they talk about, you know, trying different fill levels. So,
they tried different fill levels.
They did try different fill levels, and then came across that they found that the best was between 60 and 95%. Pepperball does admit that Patrick Greenbass was well known in the art, but clearly the file history. Fadida is not limited to explosive charges. There's an alternative embodiment where it talks specifically about it bursting on impact, not bursting because of an explosion. And then I'll just say something about the secondary consideration evidence. They don't show a nexus. Their commercial success, they don't show in the first one, in the 1137, it would have to be denonimide. And in the 1138, they would have to have the actual fill levels.
What about affidavits of praise? The long felt need.
There are affidavits of praise from people in law enforcement, but what the board found was that all they talked about were the advantages of putting a powder in a projectile, and that had been done before by both Fadida and Fonseca.
But apparently never successfully?
Maybe not in commercial products, but they had certainly taught that if you put a powder in a projectile, it will puff up and build air.
Seems to be discussion of failures in the context that Judge Plager was mentioning. Others had failed to make this powder in a partially filled projectile work very well.
There was no specific indication that others in the art had failed. What they point to is they hired Mr. Gibson, who was one of the inventors of the Katsiopoulos patent. And they hired him to optimize their manufacturing method. And he said that it would take him 6 to 12 months to come up with fills at a certain price. And so the Pepperball inventor talked to him, but that was about optimizing a manufacturing process that wasn't about making the
fill. Where is the affidavit about experimenting with the fill level?
I'm not sure, Your Honor. There are two affidavits by, in the 11th. You mean in terms of this, in terms of
well, I think you described earlier that they experimented with fill to find the optimization. They where is that described?
I actually don't see it. Maybe Mr. Serafini does. I don't see it in the 1137 Joint Appendix. So if the court has no further questions.
I have one question.
Oh, okay. So this is in the 1137 at Joint Appendix, page 929.
Let's assume, for argument purposes, that others had tried to put powder into one of these guns to create an effect, make the cloud. And let's assume the inventor in this case, or the inventor in this case, experimented with a variety of fills and other tweaks and succeeded where no one previously had succeeded. But he did it. He knew what the issues were. He had the ball. He had the powder. He knew the prior. But he succeeded. By various experiments and trial and error. At what point do we simply say that was obvious to try, it was part of experimentation, or at what point do we say, aha, he has invented something that's happened? And how do we tell the difference between that course of conduct that leads to simply saying, you know, he's trying to do technique different ways to treat this thing that was already invented by the prior art, and or he really invented something. How do we know the difference?
I think you would have to show that it was unexpected results. And what the examiner found was that puffing of powder is expected and an inherent property. So I would have a hard time finding that he could show that it was unexpected. And that it required some inventive step for him to actually be able to pin it down. I think anybody skilled in the art would know that, you know, if you drop powder, it puffs, and so there would be, it would just be a matter of routine experimentation to get there.
Well, you hardly say it was unexpected, really, because that was what he was expecting to have happen.
Well, he says it was, in Pepperwell, he says it was unexpected, that he thought a lower fill level would not give him that, and he found it unexpected that it did.
No, I'm not sure about that. Look at the bottom of 929. I think actually this supports what you're saying. He says it may also be intuitive that the powder fill increased, that the powder might clump together and not disperse as well as a lesser fill. And it was not good.
It says, in paragraph 18, he says it might seem intuitive that more powder fill would yield a denser powder fill.
All right, so that may also be intuitive that the powder fill increased, that the powder might clump together and not disperse as well as a lesser fill. So he seems to be saying that his own intuition before he started this was that having a lesser fill would avoid the clumping problem.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
The court has nothing further. Are you able to
thank you.
Mr. Sheriff.
I'd like to address some of the issues raised by this court and the opposing counsel in previous discussion. There is declaration evidence that Pepperwell did try using lower fill level with a liquid and it wouldn't work. There's also declaration evidence that they experimented for some time, so they came to the unexpected result for creating a cloud by lowering the fill level of the powder. And if the court wishes to address the court, can point the court to specific declaration evidence. In the declaration, Mr. Basil, on pages 1252 to 1261 of the appendix, in particular, in those pages, Mr. Basil discusses that he tried to lower the liquid and it didn't work. and create the largest trade association. On page 1255, Mr. Basil said that this discovery would increase for formation of the cloud in lower field levels than it was expected. In pages 1283 to 1284, he talks about his experimentation in achieving this result. Another argument raised previously was the use of weighting agents, that is, the addition of heavier products to the powder in this case, to increase the spread of the powder of the impact of the target. Paper that discussed those weighting agents itself in his patent. However, those are the opposite of the effect. He said that if you put something heavier, once the target impacts the projector impacts the target, then the heavier particles sort of pull out and clear the final powder. This is just the opposite. This is reducing the level. So it's counterintuitive because one would think of putting something heavy to do this pull action as opposed to reducing the field to make one think that something is spread at all. On top of that, paperboard itself claims its weighting powers. Again, paperboard discussions claim separately weighting agents as opposed to field levels, which are two different concepts altogether. The issue was raised also the use of nonivamate as opposed to polymerizing capsicum. For the benefit of history, polymerizing capsicum was used first, nonivamate was used later. Polymerizing capsicum is a combination of 27 capsaicinoids, irritating agents, which nonivamate is just one. But being a natural product, polymerizing capsicum is highly variable in the basic procured from suppliers. When nonivamate is synthesizable synthetically, so it has a very high quality level. But that doesn't change the point that we have a projectile with lower field level that creates a cloud that has an irritating component to it. So I believe the nexus does exist between the sales and the commercial results of paperball, because again, the claim feature of the cloud, you know, the irritating agent is present in all the sold products of the police forces. Another argument raised before was that Fidida doesn't necessarily require explosive charges. Fidida talks about firearms, which is A84 of the record, pyrotechnic devices, smoke-producing means, grenades, explosions, and in what embodiment is gelatin capsules discussed in the previous argument. Again, the keys that Fidida says reduce powder, made the projector explode in air and don't have it hit the target. We don't know why it says that as opposed to liquid, but it could just be, and this is speculation, but we need that Fidida has the same problems paperball encountered in of clamping and powder distribution. These are the key points we wish to rebut. Is the court any question? We'll be happy to address those.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor.
That concludes our